Hello and welcome to IndieInterviews.com, part of the IndieFeed.com network, a weekly radio show where we interview independent musicians to get their perspective on their music, their history, and the world around their art. On this show, your host Garrison Reed sits down with Ramesh Shivastava of Voxtrot. Ramesh discusses the band's interest and appreciation for blogs, the process of developing the new EP, and the band's plans for South by Southwest.
I think the songs are a little less straightforward. I mean, there's more musical changes. They're not quite as just like basic one-tempo dance-friendly. Like they're kind of a bit more all over the place.
The band Voxtrot had a very successful 2005. Releasing their debut EP, Raised by Wolves, the band had the opportunity to play at both South by Southwest in spring and CMJ in fall of 2006. While in New York, the band made an impression on audiences and on the blog community. Here's a snippet of the start of something from the 2005 EP, Raised by Wolves.
With athletic ease, break common laws in twos and threes. If I die clutching your photograph, don't call me boring, it's just cause I like you. Oh, take me on back and take me back to the place where I can feel your heart. Is this the end or just the start of something?
The band will soon begin a national tour, including dates in New York City and at South by Southwest. What led to your decision to have a Voxtrot blog?
My decision to have a Voxtrot blog was because I used to have a blog a long time ago that seemed to crash all the time because we were on a free web server. I really missed having it because it was great to have feedback and that kind of thing. And then we could also talk about stuff other than Voxtrot on it, which was good. And also, because of all the stuff that we've done with blogs recently, I've seen kind of the power of the blog nowadays and the fact that people are actually interested in reading them, maybe more than mainstream journalism. So I just kind of wanted to be a part of that.
What impact do you think blogs have had on the success of Voxtrot so far?
I think they've had it's kind of like the greatest form of advertising because it's guilt-free, because it's kind of community-based. I mean, we've met pretty much every single one of those bloggers that has done, that has been complimentary to us and hung out with them, and it's kind of like everybody's got the same mutual love of music, and it's free, I guess there are probably some blogs that have advertising support or something, but for the most part, it's free, so it's kind of like this new form of advertising PR that has never existed before, because mainstream publications you can't really trust, as far as I can tell. I mean, if you consider ones that were huge and incredible in the 60s, like Rolling Stone being the obvious one, things like that have, I would say, next to zero artistic credibility anymore. So this is like the subversive thing that has come up and take its place. And I think it's, for the most part, from what I see, it's highlighting the right bands, and it's highlighting all different types of music, which is really good.
The band is managing their own label. How does that really work, and what does the label actually mean, other than it's on the back of a CD?
When we started the label, there have always been things in Austin, but there was nothing that really catered to the exact bands we wanted to work with. And the first band that we put something out with was Soundium, because for a long time ago, like one of the first shows we ever played at Emo's, which is kind of like a really popular club in Austin. That was with Jesse Bessie, and it was with Sound Team. And I think that was like 3 years ago, and we used to always get put on bills with them, and they were really, really good live performers. So when I talked to our guitarist, Mitch, when I was still living in Scotland, and said, well, we haven't found anybody who has given us, any big offer to, not like we were looking for tons of money, but it would be nice to have somebody put out like the 5-song EP that we had, and we talked to the Bus Stop label, and it wasn't working because we couldn't get it. we didn't know how long it was going to be, so we said, let's start our own record label and involve bands we want to work with. The Sound Team was the first band that we approached, and we put out this EP that they took on their tour with the Walkmen. And right now, because of all the Voxtrot activity, we don't really have the ability to spend money on other bands. But I hope in the near future we can work with some of the kind of new stuff that's been coming along, like the stuff I mentioned in the blog.
Yeah. What are the elements the band is looking for in a future label, or are you completely satisfied with your own label workings?
In a way, it's really satisfying that I feel really good that we're doing it on our own. And comparatively, like, a lot of people have bought the record that we put out by ourselves, and there's a lot of, it's really good. It's nice that there's good word of mouth going, and 99% of the time we didn't pay for it. It's just people being excited. But one thing that gets really hard is that it's really hard, obviously, to be on tour as much as we are and to live. I mean, I'm a preschool teacher, but that job I basically have been let go of because I'm gone all the time, and I think everybody has a similar situation. So it would just be nice only for the sake of so it could be a living wage instead of just, like, this hobby that's getting a lot of recognition. Sliding under your belt to a place that smothers children, cuts the space between two lives. I've seen you working, wasted and gray. You've got a delicate heart, and listen, you would be smart to keep yourself in a world of mothers, sisters, daughters, and wives. Listen, I've come to rock this boat. The take and the giving needs no room for the living, and some of you thinking.
I was wondering, what impact does your time in Scotland have on your current songwriting?
I think that's always a weird one, because when I listen back to the songwriting that we actually have, it is still pretty founded in twee pop or whatever. It's like pretty indie. But I remember moving to Glasgow, and then instead of really getting into indie music, just like really getting into dance music and, like, I don't know, club culture and all that crap that's so, well, not crap stuff, that's so big in Europe and doesn't really have any resonance in the States. And for a while, I kind of abandoned the idea, and I thought, I don't really want to make, like, pre-pop indie music anymore, and tried to sort of incorporate not so much the elements of the instruments of that music, but kind of the drive that it has,
yeah,
sort of the power, and I don't really know if that's ever translated, but it kind of freed me from my hang-ups on certain bands, like thinking that the Smiths and Belle and Sebastian, the Go-Betweens and all that stuff, were the only thing in the world, to realizing there was these, like, whole other reservoirs of music that I hadn't tapped into yet.
Could you explain further your thoughts behind mothers, sisters, daughters, and wives?
That was a kind of a hard one to explain, but that living anywhere I've lived in the world, but especially when I lived in Britain, I noticed this tendency of, that cultures like American culture or culture in Great Britain encourage men to be emotionally retarded or emotionally inarticulate. I think that causes a lot of problems. So I was saying that the title comes from one line that suggests that life would probably be easier if you surrounded yourself with women.
Mothers, Sisters, Daughters, and Wives comes out in April. How was the process of recording this different than Raised by Wolves?
Raised by Wolves was taken from about three different recording sessions. All of them, but the start of them, were recorded with the same person. But that one was more of old songs that we wanted to clear off the decks that we've been an LP or an EP, we realized if we wanted to keep touring and record at the same time, we didn't really have time to sit down and concentrate on doing an entire LP. Plus, we liked the EP format. So we just decided to do another one, but this one was much more like we knew what the five songs were going to be from the beginning. They were all kind of newer, and we had everything scored out, like string-wise and stuff in advance. So it was much more of an organized effort than the first one.
What other elements on the new EP should be surprising to people who are into Raised by Wolves?
Yeah, I guess when we have been thinking about releasing it, I didn't realize there was going to be any kind of anticipation, because I didn't know that anybody would be asking that in advance. We hadn't really put that much thought into how much of it we were going to show beforehand. But I guess as far as in comparison to the last one, I think the songs are a little less straightforward. I mean, there's more musical changes. They're not quite as just like basic one-tempo dance friendly. Like, they're kind of a bit more all over the place.
What are the elements the band is looking for in a label?
We would like it to be just a means to an end so that we can kind of continue to do the same thing that we're doing, but have a living wage. But obviously we don't want the label to be overpowering. So the ideal is to merge Matador or Sub Pop size. But one thing I was saying last night that I'll restructure is that it just seems to me that in terms of labels, that these days I have trouble telling the difference between what is a big indie and what is a small major, what is a big major, because it seems like everybody's kind of doing the same thing, or, you know, it's hard to tell the difference between them. So, but I still think that kind of big indie, those three labels are kind of the size that we want, because then you still have really good distribution, and you get to reach a lot of ears, but you're not necessarily going to be in debt for the next 500,000 decades.
What is your thoughts on South by Southwest and its impact for your band?
My thoughts are that when we did it for the first time last year, I think I had unrealistic expectations as to what the festival would immediately warrant in terms of career advancement. I think I thought it was just like, you go there and there are all these people, everybody gets really excited about you, and it's just like, you're this instant huge fan base. But it's not true, because chances are, unless you happen to be, I mean, last year was what, like MIA or something, you're kind of a small fish in a really big pond. But this year, I think we've kind of put more planning into it, to where we get to play things that I'm really excited about. Like, we're going to do something with Sound Team and Dr. Dog, and I'm trying to set up this party with Comet Game and Love Is All, which are two of my favorite living bands. So if we can kind of, you know, think more in advance and do stuff like that, I think we can make it work for us. But if you go into it just, I think you can't go into it with a media mindset, but you can't go into it thinking, I'm going to do this for my career. You have to just go into it thinking, I'm going to make the best of this rare opportunity of however many, like 10,000 bands, you know, probably 5% of which I love, that happened to be in my city at one time. So I'm excited about this year. Nearly weighs her down. She's got another boy, oh boy. Steady your ears and read my lips. Poetry is not a luxury, it's how I break this home. And when I'm really ill, won't you cradle me? Man is not a noble animal, but maybe woman is real. Thanks for listening to IndieInterviews.com, a weekly podcast where we interview independent musicians. More information about our guest today, Boxtrot, can be found on their website, boxtrot.net. Music samples in the show are from their record, Raised by Wolves, available on Cult Hero. For information on this release, visit boxtrot.net. For more information, including a transcription of this interview, please visit indieinterviews.com. For the complete track, Start of Something, visit indiefeed.com. For feedback on this podcast and the materials used in this production, send your thoughts to indieinterviews@indieinterviews.com. Thanks again, and see you next week.